Verse 7, this Gajendra had formerly been a Vaishnava and the king of the country known as Padya, which is in the province of Dravida, South India. In his previous life, he was known as Indrajumna Maharaj. Text 8. Indrajumna Maharaj retired from family life and went to the Malayan hills, where he had a small cottage for his ashram. He wore matted locks on his head and always engaged in austerities. Once, while observing a vow of silence, he was fully engaged in worship of the Lord and absorbed in the ecstasy of love of Godhead. Text 9. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Text 9. While Indradyumna Maharaj was engaged in ecstatic meditation, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the great sage Agastya Muni arrived there, surrounded by his disciples. When the Muni saw that Maharaj Indradyumna, who was sitting in a secluded place, remained silent and did not follow the etiquette of showing him a reception, he was very angry. Text 10, this is the verse. Agastya Muni then spoke this curse against the king. This king, Indradyumna, is not at all gentle. Being low and uneducated, he has insulted a brahmana. May he therefore enter the region of darkness and receive the dull, dumb body of an elephant. Purport. An elephant is very strong and has a very big body, and it can work very hard and eat a large quantity of food, but its intelligence is not all commensurate with its size and strength. Thus, in spite of so many bodily strength, the elephant works as a menial servant for a human being. Agastya Muni thought it wise to curse the king to become an elephant because the powerful king did not receive Agastya Muni as one is obliged to receive a brahmana. Yet although Agastya Muni cursed Maharaj Indrajumna to become an elephant, the curse was indirectly a benediction, for by undergoing one life as an elephant, Indrajumna Maharaj ended the reactions of all sins of his previous life. Immediately after the expiry of the elephant's life, he was promoted to Vaikuntha Loka to become a personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, in the body exactly like that of the Lord. This is called Sarupya Mukti. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadammayam Dadati Swampadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siya Dvaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, a little bit of history. We're going back just to review what was the events leading up to the elephant and who became, what we say, a resident by Kunta. Simply by the mercy of the Lord. He was a powerful elephant in the heavenly planets, had a lot of prestige, a lot of facility for sense gratification, but got trapped by a crocodile and was almost killed. But because of his devotional service in his previous life, he remembered many prayers that he had recited. And that recollection allowed him to offer these prayers in such a beautiful and heartfelt way that the Lord actually was inspired to come and kill his adversary and at the same time free him from his elephant body and bring him back to the spiritual world. Now here, it sounds kind of unfair when you look at it. He was in ecstasy of love of God and absorbed in that ecstasy. and worship of the Lord. And then he gets a guest. The guest is a very powerful sage, Augusta Mooney. He's not a small Mooney. He's a Mooney amongst Moonies. And he's followed by his followers. And he curses him because he doesn't get the proper reception of a Brahmana. You might think two things. One, you know, the Mooney's puffed up, wants respect. Or you might think, you know, why is he being cursed? Because he was absorbed in ecstasy of love of God. He was on the highest transcendental consciousness. So why should he get cursed when he didn't notice somebody because of his ecstasy? When Daksha came into the assembly with Shiva there, Shiva was in the ecstasy of meditating on the Lord within his heart. And so when he didn't pay respects to Daksha, Daksha also got angry. But there was no fault on Shiva's part because Shiva was already absorbed in love of God. So here was the same thing, this great king Indrajumna Maharaj. But it seems to work out that the whole thing was Krishna's arrangement. Sometimes for his devotee, Krishna will make a special, what we say, apparent reverse in one's life in order to bring the person back to the spiritual world. He did that with Chitraketu too. Chitraketu was flying on his airplane. He came along a group of sages headed by Lord Shiva. Shiva was sitting as the head of the sages, and Parvati was sitting on his lap. And when Chitraketu, he was already a liberated soul, well, practically on the platform of liberation, he saw that Shiva was sitting amongst all these sages in a very unusual way. His wife is sitting on his lap. That's not proper etiquette for this type of gathering. So he laughed. He laughed. He thought it was kind of odd. And Shiva didn't take any offense, but Parvati did. And she cursed him to become a demon. And he became Vritrasura. And then, of course, he had to fight with Indra, and he was killed by Indra, and he went back home, back to Godhead. So that was another arrangement by the Lord, because he could have counteracted the curse of Mother Parvati, but he didn't, because he saw it as Krishna's arrangement finish up his material life. We have so many examples. Maharaj Parikshit apparently acted outside of his normal conduct when the sage, what was his name, Shamak Rish, was sitting in meditation. He came to Shamak Rish's hermitage. Shamak Rish didn't notice him because he was also in meditation. So he became unhappy. He was the king of the world coming to the sages, and he didn't get any respect, any honor. So he took a snake. There was a snake laying dead near the sage. He put the snake and he said, "You're such a great sage. Here's your garland." But Shamak Rish didn't take offense, but Sringi, his son, did and cursed Maharaj Parikshit to die in 7 days. He could have counteracted the curse, but he didn't. He saw it as the Lord's arrangement. And there's so many examples of how one is put into, a great soul is put into apparently an awkward situation that seems completely outside of the normal way that sages should be treated. Why was he being cursed here? There was no reason for it. But ultimately, it was the Lord's arrangement. The Lord arranged the battle of Kurukshetra also to destroy all the demoniac kings in the world and at the same time establish King Yudhisthira on the throne. So how do we know when it's the Lord's arrangement or it's just, you know, that's the question. How do we know when it's the Lord's arrangement or it's just because when one is acting improperly and therefore one is getting a reaction under the influence of the material energy? In one sense, it really doesn't matter because even the material energy is working under the direction of the Lord. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharachara. So even though someone may be acting, a devotee may be getting smashed because of their or some reverses in their life, still it's the Lord's arrangement because it has some meaning to bring the devotee out of Maya into a higher stage of spiritual consciousness, cutting away their attachments. So, but a devotee doesn't get upset with reverses and seizes it. Therefore, there's that famous verse in the 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse number 8. It's one of the most important verses in the Bhagavatam. Tate nukampashu shamikshamanam bhujane vakritam vipakam vidvavarabhir dhanavidhananam aste jivetiyo muktipadesha dayabhak. Prabhupada makes one statement. He said, along with chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one should learn this verse. Because if we don't learn this verse, we'll never make any advancement in spiritual life. What is this verse saying? My dear Lord, you've put me into this difficult situation, and it's causing me great difficulty. But I know it's simply your mercy. Actually, the situation is only a small token of what I actually deserve. I deserve much worse. But because you're so merciful, you're only giving me a slight reaction from my sinful activities. Therefore, not only do I accept it, but I thank you for it. That's the verse in summary. So we can expect reverses. Prabhupada said even great souls undergo sometimes tribulations. Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Srila Haridas Thakura was beaten in 22 marketplaces. And the list goes on. But a devotee doesn't, what we say, curse the Lord or complain to the Lord or say, why has this happened? They understand there's a purpose behind it. And they take the opportunity to use it to advance in Krishna consciousness. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Anayan chintayantumam yejana paryupasate tesham nityabhayuktanam yogashemavahamiyaham. He says that one who is always engaged in devotional service, thinking about me, absorbed in my lotus feet, there's never any loss. Even if apparently there's some loss, I preserve it. And if there's some gain, that's my mercy also. So this is Krishna. Krishna is always with his devotee, even though apparently there is reverses. And Krishna never forgets his devotee. It says even if one once, just once, does some sincere devotional service. In other words, if you just once sincerely do some service, then Krishna never forgets that. You may forget that you did it, but Krishna doesn't forget it. And he always remembers it. How kind he is to his devotee, we can't imagine. I mean, look at the way he treats the demons, what to speak about the devotees. Agasura came to kill Krishna. He was angry. He took the form of a huge snake. He was going to not only kill Krishna, but he wanted to kill Krishna's friends too, the cowherd boys. So he lied down the path, opened up his mouth. The boys were playing with Krishna, and he presented himself as like a cave where the boys could go in and play. So the boys, when they saw that, they immediately said, oh, there's a cave to play. Others said, no, it's a demon. And they said, that's all right, Krishna will save us. We don't have any worry. He saved us before, he'll save us again. But just before that, this demon was thinking, you know, I'm going to kill Krishna and I'm going to offer Krishna along with some sesame water to my departed ancestors. So he was going to make Krishna an offering. And he thought of Krishna with devotion, just for a second. Just for a second. Now here's a demon. He's out to kill Krishna. But somehow or other, just for one iota of a moment, he thought of Krishna in a very favorable way. And when Krishna killed him, he didn't get Sahuja Mukti. He got Sarupya Mukti. He got the same Mukti as Indradumna Maharaj. That's amazing. Brahma couldn't understand it. Even the sages, they couldn't believe it. How is it possible this demon came to kill Krishna? And he not only got killed by Krishna, he got Sarupya Mukti. He got the same transcendental form as the Lord in the spiritual world in Vaikuntha. That's Krishna. How merciful he is. When his sister, Putana, prior to his coming, was killed by Krishna because she came to poison him. She took the role of a mother, a nurse, and she smeared deadly poison on her breast. And she offered it to Krishna. And Krishna knew she was a demoness. But she's coming at my, as my mother, so I accept her as my mother. And so he accepted her motherly role, but at the same time he destroyed her poison mentality by killing her. And she also got not only liberation, but it says almost on the same level as his mother, Mother Yasoda. This goes on. How merciful Krishna is, and how, what we say, what's the word? He's always there for his devotee. So even if the devotee is put into a difficult situation, it's either the arrangement of the Lord or it's the Lord there to save the devotee and bring him to a higher stage of consciousness. So this is very instructive to learn. In the course of Kali Yuga, there are so many obstacles, difficulties, impediments in the discharge of devotional service, both internally and, of course, externally with the increase of Kali Yuga. I never know. Prabhupada used to say, that if they knew what I was saying, referring to the politicians and the leaders of the world, if they knew actually what I was saying, they would kill me. Prabhupada was a revolutionary. He was practically calling for the destruction of all materialistic governments. And that's what this Krishna consciousness movement is about, is to change the society from the inside out, as to ultimately purify everyone, so ultimately everything changes, including the whole social, political, economic structure, and it becomes, what we say, aligned with Vedic culture and human existence. Not like it is now, it's just exploitation by those who are supposed to be in power to give protection. So, therefore, to preach in this age is always dangerous. It's always dangerous. Especially if we get power, if you get too powerful enough, what will happen? You'll get suppressed. And the governments, they're watching our movement just to see how we're doing. Just like this year we were in the Ukraine. And last year we had the Ukraine festival and we had 5,000 devotees coming to the festival. Devotees. This year there was 8,000. And the word came back from the Ukrainian government, you guys are getting too big. That's what they said. You guys are getting too big. So they get a little nervous when they see such, powerful religious movements, because they know if people can unite around God, such a powerful force, their whole situation is threatened economically, politically, socially. So this is what's in store as we become more and more successful in spreading Krishna consciousness. We're going to run up against resistance. But the devotees are not worried because Krishna ultimately is the supreme power and the supreme controller of everything. So even if there's reverses or difficulties, the devotee always depends on Krishna and knows that nothing can happen without the arrangement of Krishna. So Indradumna Maharaj, he accepts the fact that he got cursed. He's actually thinking, "Whoa, I made a mistake. I didn't honor this great sage who came. Therefore, I deserve to get, you know, punished for that." He's accepting the punishment. Although he didn't, there was no reason why. He was in ecstasy of love of God. He was absorbed. It says that if you're chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and someone pays their obeisances to you, and you don't pay your obeisances back, there's no loss because you're already absorbed in love in Krishna. So when you're absorbed in Krishna, you're connected with everything and everybody. Sometimes even when you're eating prasadam, someone pays his obeisances. Because you're honoring Krishna in the form of prasadam, you're on the transcendental platform. So being absorbed in Krishna consciousness means that one is in the perfect position. So how can he get cursed? Well, obviously it says here, it was the arrangement of the Lord. And he got a body like an elephant. What a curse, right? Prabhupada uses, and he says, an elephant has a very, he can do hard work, he eats a lot, but his intelligence is very small. So he got cursed in that way. But Krishna came and arranged for his material life. He went to the heavenly planets and was a very prestigious and popular elephant amongst all the other elephants. But crocodile attacked him and he couldn't defeat the crocodile and was almost defeated by him. But he remembered his prayer. That's why Prabhupada says that we should remember. We recite notable prayers, because by reciting notable prayers, we remember these prayers. And then we can also, just like, of course, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the complete prayer. But sometimes when we're in danger, we think of Lord Nrisingadeva and we chant the Nrisinga Mantra. Or even calling out to Srila Prabhupada's mantra or Lord Chaitanya's mantra. They're all very powerful to give both protection and spiritual elevation. So Prabhupada says, I think it's earlier in this pastime here, one should learn different chants. Because Indradumna Maharaj, as an elephant, remembered his prayers in his last life. If we come back again in another life, well, hopefully we don't want to, but if we do, well, we may not remember our previous life as a devotee, but then somehow we might hear a prayer that we chanted in our previous life, and then that hearing of that prayer again will awaken our remembrance of our devotional life. Maybe not directly, but indirectly, it'll again inspire us to in devotional service. So, and special prayers that are especially, we should learn the Brahma Samhita prayers. They're very, very popular and powerful prayers. I think in some temples, they chant the Brahma Samhita prayers every day. Very beautiful prayers spoken by Lord Brahma. And of course, I remember when I first joined the Hare Krishna Mantra movement, we chanted the Sri Ishupanishads every day as part of the morning programs. And that was very inspiring. So these prayers are very nice. They're very deep, very full of devotion, and nice ways to offer our bhakti to Krishna through these wonderful prayers. So, what reverses will happen? There's a nice story. Would you like to hear a story? It's about a donkey. And this farmer, he had a donkey. And the donkey was old, and he fell into the farmer's well. He was all the way at the bottom. It was a dry well. So the farmer's thinking, oh no, my donkey's in the well. And the donkey is crying. He wants to get out of the well. So the farmer is trying to get the donkey out, throwing ropes, and nothing's working. So finally the farmer thinks, well, he's an old donkey. I don't need him anymore. So I think I'll just bury him. So he starts calling his neighbors, and they all come with shovels, and they start throwing dirt on top of the donkey. Now the donkey's thinking, what's going on here? First they're trying to save me, now they're trying to kill me. So all this dirt's flying on the donkey. So, but the donkey, for a minute, after he starts crying a little bit, then he starts thinking, maybe there's something I can do to save myself. So as the dirt's falling on his back, he shakes the dirt off, and then he stands on a higher platform. And then the dirt is coming, and he's shaking it off, and as the dirt's coming, he's going up higher, higher, higher. Finally, he gets to the top, and he walks out of the well, and he just goes, the donkey gets freed, like... So the moral of the story is, you know, you get dirt thrown on you, you get reverses in life, shake it off. Move on in your Krishna consciousness. Because this is just the way life is. Life is full of reverses sometimes. We shouldn't be discouraged. In fact, we should be encouraged sometimes when reverses come, because we're thinking, how can we take advantage of this reverse? Because obviously it has some meaning in my life. How to make advancement from that. So we see here a major reverse in the king's life, and he became an elephant. But in the next life, he was back home, back to Godhead, and he received Sarupya Mukti. He got a body exactly like Lord Narayan. So ultimately, it was a benefit. So someone asked Prabhupada one time, Prabhupada, we hear that there's an old saying, I don't know if it's in your country, but I know in America there's a saying that every cloud has a silver lining. Have you heard that? Yeah. So a cloud is something that is considered to be negative. Silver lining is something that, along with the negativity, there's something really beneficial there. In due course of time, the benefit will come. So the devotee asked Prabhupada, is it true that every cloud has a silver lining? Prabhupada said, for the devotee, yes. For a devotee, it's always, because the devotee's on the right path. And sometimes being on the right path doesn't always mean executing the path in the best possible way. So Krishna kind of like pushes us sideways, just to get us back on the path correctly. With clouds and difficulties, sometimes reverses. Sometimes you lose your money, sometimes you lose your husband or your wife, sometimes you lose your health, sometimes you lose, you know, or sometimes you gain things you don't want. And all these things, if they're seen as opportunities rather than obstacles or roadblocks, they can be used to progress in our spiritual life. How to see them is to see them in that way. How to understand them, that's a little difficult. That's where we need to take advice and be a little introspective. But getting advice in these... But never become discouraged, no matter what happens in devotional service. Discouragement is a word that doesn't fit. A devotee is an optimist. They know by staying with the process of Krishna consciousness, even amidst difficulties and reverses, if we can continue to move forward, ultimately we will attain the perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness, pure Krishna consciousness. Just a matter of time. Any questions? Yes. Do we have a microphone? Is there no more roving mic? No. Okay. Put the phone on speaker, nice and loud. Jai Sisi Radha Gokulananda Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Gornitai Kijai.